morning. Welcome to St. Oscar Romero Parish on the first Sunday of Lent. The Disciple Index Maker Survey is now available online. Please take a moment to complete this survey from the diocese that we're asked to complete during Lent. Information on how to access a survey is available in the bulletin. Join us for a Lenten Holy Hour this Friday, February the 27th at 7 p.m. in St. Patrick's Church. This month, we dedicate the Holy Hour for all those who are sick and suffering in honor of Our Lady of Lourdes. Today, there will be coffee and donuts downstairs after today's Mass, and all are welcome. The Knights of Columbus are selling Pennsylvania Coal sweepstakes tickets after all Masses. Your $10 donation gives you a chance to win one of 16 cash prizes from $1,000 to $15,000. Children's choir practice will meet on Thursdays from February 26th through March 26th from 6 to 6:45 p.m. in the choir room at St. Patrick's to prepare for the 10:30 a.m. Easter morning Mass. Anyone in grades 3 and above are welcome. For more information, please call Anthony Milbauer. Lastly, check out the bulletin for our Lenten calendar of activities and more information about the bishop's visit and listening session on March the 25th. The deadline to RSVP is March the 18th. Today's Mass intention is for the family and friends of Paul and Jan Kersnick. And Father Tom is the celebrant.
Please join in our entrance hymn number 97. Again, we keep this solemn fast. Number 97.
Today, we're blessed in Western Pennsylvania that the snow is only landing on the grass, right? You could be in New York City. Again, I was just reading about before Mass. They all have blizzard warnings in New York City and Philadelphia, all those places. They haven't had them. You know, whatever. I believe the climate has changed, but we still get winter, right? So I always feel like the older I get, I know Nathan here loves snow, but I think the older we get, we don't care if we don't get any, right? So let us pray for all those people. Truly, I remember all the flights are canceled and stuff. It causes a lot of problems. You who've flown through New York City know it's going to affect a lot of people. So let us pray for all those people today. Again, today we enter into this first full week of Lent, and our introduction says, during this 40-day journey through the desert that we make every Lent, again and again we will find ourselves tempted, remember that's part of life, tempted to do the wrong thing, to overindulge in whatever, in food and other things, to lie, to take the easy way out. And fortunately, the Holy Spirit accompanies us, just like he accompanied Jesus Christ, to guide us along that right path and to lead us back after we lose our way. So we recall that filled with the Holy Spirit, today we see how Jesus was able to resist temptation on his own journey into the desert, even when the devil offered him the whole world. Remember, that's what the devil does. He offers us the whole world. But it's a lie, right? It's a lie. So may we be strengthened regularly by the body and blood of Christ we receive at every Mass as we continue on our holy pilgrimage of Lent. So as we begin today's Mass, please think about your own personal intention along with the intention for the Mass, and also think about what you are trying to do. You know, if you're trying to give up something, but or what you're trying to do, you know, during this journey into the desert of Lent. So think about that right now. And we pray together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. My brothers and sisters, let us now acknowledge our sins, and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God, and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and in what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask, Blessed Mary, Ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. And may Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Kyrie eleison.
Kyrie
eleison. Christe eleison.
Christe
eleison. Kyrie eleison. Let us pray. Grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observances of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and by worthy conduct pursue their effects. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The Lord God formed man out of the clay of the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and so man became a living being. Then the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east and placed there the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord made various trees grow that were delightful to look at and good for food, with the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the serpent was the most cunning of all the animals that the Lord God had made. The serpent asked the woman, "Did God really tell you not to eat from any of the trees in the garden?" The woman answered the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden. It is only about the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden that God said, 'You shall not eat it or even touch it, lest you die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You certainly will not die. No, God knows well that the moment you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods who know what is good and what is evil." The woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eyes, and desirable for gaining wisdom. So she took some of its fruit and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Be merciful, O Lord, for we sinned. Be merciful.
mercy on me, O God, in your goodness. In the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. For I acknowledge my offense, and my sin is before me always. Against you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. A clean heart create for me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. Cast me not out from your presence, and your Holy Spirit take not from me. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned. Give me back the joy of your salvation, and a willing spirit sustain in me. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall proclaim your praise. Be merciful, O Lord, for we have sinned.
A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. Brothers and sisters, through one man sin entered the world, and through sin, death. And thus death came to all men inasmuch as all sinned. For up to the time of the law, the sin was in the world, though sin is not accounted when there is no law. But death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the gift is not like the transgression, for if by the transgression of the one the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the graciousness gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many? And the gift is not like the result of the one who sinned, for after one sin there was the judgment that brought condemnation. But the gift, after many transgressions, brought acquittal. For if, by the transgression of the one, death came to reign through that one, how much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of justification come to reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ? In conclusion, just as through one transgression condemnation came upon all, so through the righteous act, acquittal and life came to all. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so through the obedience of the one, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus. one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Glory and praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. He fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was hungry. The tempter approached and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." Jesus said in reply, "It is written, one does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and made him stand on the parapet of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and with their hands they will support you, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Then the devil took him up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in their magnificence. And he said to him, "All these I shall give to you if you will prostrate yourself and worship me." At this, Jesus said to him, "Get away, Satan. It is written, the Lord your God shall you worship, and him alone shall you serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Again, today we begin, of course, as I was just explaining, I know we have donuts after Mass, right? Remember, even if it's Lent, remember, we do not count Sundays. I know that bothers a lot of people. But we don't count Sundays in the Roman part of the church. That's why we start Lent on Wednesday. Do your math. There's 6 weeks of Lent. 6 times 6 is 36. And how many more do you need to make 40? 4. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So never feel guilty if you rejoice a little on the Sundays of Lent, because it's still a day of celebration, even though, of course, we don't like pig out, right? But don't be afraid if you realize it's still Sunday. And we need a little break. You know, I know many people are hardcore here, right? but sometimes we burn ourselves out if we think we become too rigid, right? And that's why we have the little break, you know, every week to really enter with gusto, you know, every Monday through Saturday, those official days of Lent. And again, as I said, today is the beginning of the first full week of Lent. And in the scriptures, you know, during these weeks, every week of Lent will remind us really of these different themes to focus on during, you know, the upcoming week. And actually this year we're blessed. You remember, every 3 years we start the cycle again. So we're in the year, what? Year of Saint Matthew, remember? So this year we hear the great readings of the traditional readings of Lent. They're called the Year A readings, and those are the readings, you know, every Sunday that really they're for catechumens. Hopefully you know what a catechumen is. A catechumen is an ancient Greek term for all the people that were not Christian, for those who were preparing for baptism at the Easter Vigil. And really the readings, of course, they're for all of us, but they're especially for people who are not yet in the church. So again, listen closely, even if you've been Catholic for like 60 or 70 years or more, right? Because every 3 years we hear these powerful readings from year A. You know, indeed, these 40 days of Lent are meant to parallel how Jesus himself, we just heard this in that beautiful gospel, how Jesus spent 40 days of preparation. You know, that number 40 is a powerful number throughout all of Scripture. And he spent those 40 days, you know, not at some resort, right? He spent those 40 days going into the wilderness, going into the desert. And actually, I know many of you have visited the Holy Land. You know, I hope to go someday. I've never been there yet. But you have experienced, you know, firsthand, what is it like to go to those places where Jesus went? And you truly saw the desert, right? You know, where there probably wasn't a lot of water, right? And it didn't look like it was full of life. And that's what Jesus does. He goes into that desert before he starts his ministry to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom of God. I read this beautiful reflection about today's readings. Think about, of course, all the readings go together. So that first reading is from the book of Genesis, right? And it contrasts with the gospel because where are Adam and Eve? They are in the beauty of a garden, right? They have everything that they will ever need. And they disobey God anyways, right? And the contrast is with Jesus. Remember, we call Jesus the new Adam. He doesn't go into any garden until the Holy Week, right? He goes into the desert where there is nothing. And even in his temptation, he does not disobey. In his human nature, he doesn't disobey God. He follows God's will. He witnesses that beautiful virtue for all of us. Obedience, right? Remember, I always say it's not a scary word to be obedient. It just means to listen, you know, listen to God especially. So that's what Jesus does today. He goes into the desert. You know, Jesus needed to get away. You know, that's what the desert does. If you ever experienced it or go on a retreat, you know, a retreat that's like the desert. He needed to get away so he could do that one essential thing. He separated himself from everything. In order to pray, you know, we've been blessed almost a whole year. Remember when we started our Adoration Chapel, March 9th, remember that? That was actually a year ago. Remember, it was 2 weeks after today. That was the first Sunday of Lent last year. And you who go to the Adoration Chapel, you know that that is a beautiful desert, right? Especially when it's quiet. And you who have been going there regularly, you know, when you first started, I'm sure your mind was racing. I'm sure your mind still races sometimes. But if you have a good habit already of praying in the Adoration Chapel, you know you can enter into that quiet really easily now. You know, it shows us how discipline and training, whether it's in our body or our soul, it brings changes. So that's what Jesus did, right? He went away. You know, I know there's some people in our parish who still cannot take silence, right? I know people who can't go to sleep unless they have a TV or a radio on all night. Again, that's okay. You can choose it, but I could tell you it's not good for you, right? As a psychiatrist and as a priest, we should not be afraid of silence. We should learn how to enter into silence. I know silence is scary because it makes us face difficult things. When it's like going into a mirror, right? You really see. You're not distracted by anything. And that's the good thing about the desert, or whatever the desert is to you. It helps us learn to pray. You know, in prayerful communication with that Holy Trinity of God, that, remember, Jesus is part of it, but he could take on that task of doing what he was sent in his human nature to do as God incarnate, right? To redeem the human nature. Again, he, God, had taken upon himself because we were too weak to do it ourselves. So today on this first Sunday of Lent, once again, we follow Jesus into the wilderness. And we ourselves, as part of that body of Christ, were called to examine our lives, not someone else. Not your husband or wife or your kids or your grandchildren, you. No matter if you are, again, in your 20s, though you're still a youngster. I know everyone here is young again. Or if you've been through like decades of Lent already. As I said last week, 2026 is not 2025. It's a new year. It's a new opportunity to look at yourself, you know, sooner rather than later, because God might call you home today, right? Sooner rather to later to see how you have turned from God and he calls you back. So let us follow Jesus into the wilderness. Let us not be afraid because we're not alone. We can examine our lives to see how we are dealing with those things, how we are dealing with our own deserts. Again, those unique things that Jesus just experienced in the gospel today. His trials and temptations, our own trials and temptations that maybe people know about, but maybe only you and God know about, right? That's what we face today. You know, way back in the 5th century, so that's like 1,600 years ago, one of the great doctors of the church, St. Augustine, who lived in Hippo, which is across the Mediterranean in North Africa, he said, our pilgrimage on earth cannot be exempt from trial. A great saint of the church said this, that life has trials, even if we don't want them, right? Life has trials. They come to us. And St. Augustine said, we progress, we go forward by means of those trials. And no one, look at this, no one knows himself. We don't know who we are except through trial. And that we've heard that before. You know who your real friends are when they are with you in a trial. They don't run away, right? We know that you are truly true to your marriage when in sickness, not just in health, but in sickness, you support each other in those beautiful promises of marriage. That's the reality of being a human being wanting to be a saint. We deal with the trials because they're going to come to us anyways, right? And we know ourselves in those trials. We know other people in trials. St. Augustine said, we don't receive a crown except through our victory, you know, going through those trials, or strive except against an enemy or temptations. That's what we read about in the gospel. The one who cries from the ends of the earth is in anguish, but is not left on his own. Think about that promise. We are not on our own. Even we feel abandoned, we are not on our own. Jesus chose to foreshadow us who are his body by means of his body, in which he has died, risen, and ascended into heaven, so that the members of his body, we who are baptized, are members of his body, so that we may hope to follow their head, where he has gone before. Again, words written 1,600 years ago, but they're true today. The desert is that kind of place that Jesus entered into before he preached his message of life to the world. The desert often looks like death. So Jesus brings life to the desert. And this is where Jesus came face to face, as I said, with himself in that human nature. Before he brought God's healing power, brought God's life to all those who are struggling with so many crosses of suffering. You know, even before he would go to the cross, Jesus knew what the cross was for all those people, what who were hungry. We see that over and over again in the gospel. He wanted to help them with their struggles. You know, in this place, this desert, is where Jesus asks us to follow him again, you know, this Lent. Because in that desert, Jesus shows us how to deal with temptation. You know, we already heard in that first reading how our first parents, who were in the beauty of a garden, right, how they dealt with temptation. Not in a good way, right? They were unable to realize their blessings. You know, that's why when we go to pray, you know, in the adoration chapel or in the quiet of your home, the first prayer we should pray is a prayer of what? A prayer of thanksgiving, right? Even if my life is difficult and terrible, we think, we pray in thanksgiving that we have that gift of life. Again, Adam and Eve, as we hear in Genesis, they were unable to realize their blessings. And they sought this kind of false happiness in the way outside of God's will for them. And my friends, that's always the wrong way. You know, the devil gave them this, it was kind of a deadly gift, right? He gave them the gift of the seed of doubt. Doubt regarding God's love for them, and you all know this. So many people do not realize that they are beloved by God. And then they doubt, and then ultimately they can despair, right? Despair of God and run to the devil. So they had this doubt regarding God's love, and so they chose to question God's plan with the help of the devil. And for the first time, remember, because when you read Genesis, when God creates humanity, he says it's not just good. He says we are very good.
You know, we forget that. So for the first time in the story of Adam and Eve, God's beloved creation goes on its own way. When we go on our own way apart from God, it leads to death. Death in this body, especially death in the soul. Remember, that's what Jesus says. Don't care about who can hurt or destroy our body. Be more afraid of who can destroy our soul. And that's what Adam and Eve do. They go on their way of disobedience. Remember, I love that word, or I love the word obedience. Obedience meaning to listen. And they choose not to listen. Disobedience. Remember, disobedience is not just for three-year-olds. It's for all of us when we choose not to listen to God. You know, this quest for power and autonomy that was put into that seed, put into Adam and Eve, it did not bring them happiness, maybe a little pleasure for a few seconds. It didn't bring them happiness, which is that deep knowledge of love. It only resulted in more fear and guilt. We see this, remember, they realize they are naked and they run away and hide. You know, and all generations have inherited this tendency to sin because our human nature had fallen. We turned away from God and we'd fallen from that source of life. But Jesus came to break this cycle because, you know, it is a cycle. Sin is a cycle. Hopefully you go to confession, right? And everyone says over and over again, I've confessed this so many times, right? Because sin is a cycle. We all have bad habits and it's okay. You're supposed to confess things over and over again because you're not perfect. And that means we always need God's grace. Jesus came to break that cycle of failure, that cycle of sin. And what is it with? Our baptism. Our baptism frees us from original sin so that we can make better choices regarding all those moments of temptation, all those trials that come to us. You know, today, first of all, Jesus shows us how to face the temptation of excess worry about material lives, about stuff, about our basic needs. That's that first temptation of the devil. To turn stones into bread, right? So that might satisfy your hungry for, again, a few minutes. But then it comes back again. And he knows that when we first seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, that is straight from Scripture, we maintain a solid foundation in God's word, God's powerful word, that all things can work out in the end. Maybe not the way we want, but the way we need for the salvation of our souls. Jesus shows that trust in God is the most important thing to rely on. And then when the devil asked Jesus to test God's care for him by throwing himself off the temple, again, that's the second temptation of the devil to Jesus. Jesus relies on faith. Again, I read this beautiful reflection, how this parallels when on Good Friday, right? What do all the naysayers say to Jesus? Throw yourself off the cross, right? And Jesus doesn't do it. He doesn't jump off the temple. He doesn't jump off the cross. He relies on faith. And as creatures, we know we are never called to put God to the test. And this is our sign of those great virtues, as it said, of gratitude and of humility. And finally, that final temptation. The devil said he will give Jesus power over all the kingdoms of the world if. It always has an if. There's always a caveat. You know that great word, caveat, warning. What is that? Caveat emptor, buyer beware, right? Beware of what is in the clause. Read the fine print, right? Read those little asterisks in your books. Sometimes we skip all those footnotes. But the footnote is so important because we sign it so often in our blood. I met a friend, I think I told you this already, on a pilgrimage to Malta and Sicily, remember in the fall? And she was on that Squid Game show on Netflix. I don't know if you watched it. The challenge, she actually won it. She won $4.56 million. And I met her on a pilgrimage. She actually came to visit me this past weekend. But she gave her money she used it to help people. So what a beautiful witness. But if you watch that original show, I don't encourage you to because it's full of violence, you know, Squid Game. But if you remember, if you watch this show, they sign these contracts, right? Often they don't read the fine print. They sign these contracts, just like the contract that we could sign with the devil. You've heard that. Make a pact with the devil, right? Which means you give your soul away. So even when Jesus says, I'll give you all this power over the kingdoms of the world, he says, if you would only pay me homage, right? What an interesting thing. That's what we celebrate on Epiphany, right? The three kings paying homage to the newborn king, to Christ, to God incarnate. So the devil is saying, if you would worship me, if Jesus would worship the devil. Now that sounds like one of those movies they've made in the past decades, right? It's always attractive because even when people are so pagan, they don't care about God anymore. They love to go to the movies about the devil. Did you ever notice that? Because the devil is real. We know the devil is real. And it can sound scary. You like to be afraid, right? You know, but so many of us still choose to do that. You know, we worship the devil. We worship demons in very subtle ways. When does that come? It's when we have idols, right? When we follow something that is not of God, whatever it is. You know, sports heroes following, you know, I want to support our local teams, but they are not God, right? You know, whatever you follow, your desire for a career, for money, you know, you like to follow TikTok videos or whatever. All those things can be idols that we like worship in so many ways. So we must always remember what? That the devil is always, we always remember that the devil is always a liar. When the devil opens his mouth, he is lying. Even though it sounds so attractive, it is a lie. Not sometimes. He's not taking a break. But always, the devil is an angel. The devil lives outside of time. So he can be a liar always until Christ comes again. He is the ultimate jealous one who always wants power over the world. Because he is jealous of us. Because we are beloved creatures of God. But thanks be to God, literally, the devil has already been defeated. That's why we look upon the crucifix. The devil has been defeated. The influence we gain through any evil means might seem superficially powerful, but it is really shallow. It is short-lived. It is ultimately weak and empty and powerless. And the devil wants that false power for himself, and he wants us to think we want it too. But the Lord God is the only one who is authentically worshiped. God is worshiped in faith, in spirit, in truth. And that's what Jesus does. Jesus drives away Satan with the truth. And we can do the same. God has the ultimate power over everything. Indeed, we believe that God made everything. And the devil is also made. The devil is a creature. So today, as we begin again to go deeper into this year's Lenten journey, let us always remember that we are not alone. Jesus will lead the way. Jesus wants us to use this time to get to know ourselves, to overcome our fear, to know ourselves, to discover those things that keep us away from God. And so again, this Lent, in the silence of the desert, whatever desert you are going into, let us find that proper place in our prayer and let us follow Jesus' example. Because remember, we are fighting a real battle. Remember, the scripture says we fight against the spirits of this world. We fight against what is called the world, the flesh, and the devil. And when those temptations come from the world, which means often our indifference, our opposition to God's design, to God's will, and then those temptations often come from the flesh. You know, this is a common way, right? Which means our disordered passions. Everything from the devil is disordered. He hates order. And our disordered passions, I mean, all those good things that are taken to extreme. Remember, food is good for us. But gluttony is a deadly sin. You know, sex is good for you who are called to marriage, right? It's a beautiful thing. You know, but impurity and prostitution, those are evil. They come from God. I mean, not from God. They come from the devil. So again, anything that is good can be twisted by the devil. And the third one is from the devil himself. because the devil is a real personal enemy. He's a fallen angel, a creature. He has that great name, the father of lies. You know, remember that. So again, when we have all those temptations, we can let Jesus speak the right answers through us. We can allow God's word to help us, his powerful word. That's why it's good to read the scriptures. Whether you're in the adoration chapel or at home, read the scriptures. You know, come early to Holy Mass and read. That's why we put the scriptures in the bulletin. Read the scriptures before Holy Mass because God's word is powerful. The devil hates the word of God. And that powerful word of God helps us defeat the lies of the devil, really the lies of worldly comfort, the lies of worldly success, the lies of just worldly power that comes from the depths of hell. It comes from the devil who wants us to seek him and to believe in his lies instead of going often into the desert, you know, which can be difficult, but we're not alone. Going into the desert to come face to face with ourselves and come face to face with the mercy of God. Amen. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now let us stand as we profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation, he came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. And I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And today we lift up our needs to the Lord, praying that God's angels of mercy may minister to us as they ministered to Jesus in the desert.
For the church, that these 40 days may strengthen what is weak in us and help us to resist what tempts us each day, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For world leaders, that they may prioritize the welfare of the people of their nation and avoid temptations of personal power and glory, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those preparing for the sacraments of initiation this Easter, whom we send for election today, that their faith may be deepened during their Lenten journey, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For those discerning their vocation, that they may resist doubt and fear, and follow the path God has placed in their hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear.
For all of us, when we succumb to temptation, that we may always find our way back through God's infinite mercy, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our prisoners and loved ones who have recently died, especially for Barbara DeLorso, Gloria Molesky, and Joseph Miliotto, that the Lord grant them everlasting peace and bring comfort to their families. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
And for our prayers and Lenten intentions that we hold in the silence of our hearts today. For all these prayers, spoken and unspoken, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. And we pray especially today and tomorrow for those in the Northeast who will be afflicted by the storms of winter, that God may keep them and their loved ones safe during the cold and the ice and the snow.
we pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Good and merciful God, have mercy on us in your goodness and create in us clean hearts and steadfast spirits. Grant this in all of our prayers today, sending your angels of mercy to minister us. We ask this through your Son and our merciful Lord, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
As we prepare our gifts for the altar, please join in singing number 228, In Prayer Together, Let Us Fall, number 228.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. May the Lord accept the sacrifice at my hands for the praise and glory of his name, for our good and the good of all his holy church. Give us the right dispositions, O Lord, we pray, to make these offerings, for with them we celebrate the beginning of this venerable and sacred time. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right and just.
It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation always and everywhere, to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God, through Christ our Lord. By abstaining 40 long days from earthly food, he consecrated through his fast the pattern of our Lenten observance, and by overturning all the snares of the ancient serpent, taught us to cast out the leaven of malice, so that celebrating worthily the Paschal mystery, we might pass over at last to the eternal Paschal feast. And so with the company of angels and saints, we sing the hymn of your praise, as without end we acclaim. Created rightly gives you praise, for through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you." In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice and, giving you thanks, he said the blessing and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me." The mystery of faith. Therefore, Lord, as we celebrate the memorial of the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven, and as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray, upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing the sacrificial victim by whose death you will to reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son and filled with his Holy Spirit may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, with Saint Peter, with Saint Oscar Romero, with Saint Catherine Laboure, and with all the saints on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth with your servant, Leo, our Pope, and Mark, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassion, O merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you at their passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory. Through Christ our Lord, to whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him and with him and in him, O God, almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command, informed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may be always free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace, I leave you my peace, I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will. Who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Let us offer each other the sign of peace.
On your stay.
Behold, the Lamb of God, behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed. Today's communion antiphon: one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God.
The body of Christ. 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 Amen. The blood of Christ. Amen.
Please join in singing our communion hymn, On Eagle's Wings. Shelter of the Lord, who abide in his shadow for life. Say to the Lord, my refuge, my rock, in whom I trust.
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
The snare of the fowler will never capture you, and famine will bring you no fear. Under his wings, your refuge, his faithfulness, your shield.
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
You need not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Though thousands fall about you, near you it shall not come.
And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, of his hand.
For to his angels he's given a command
to guard you in all of your ways. Upon their hands they will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And he will raise you up on eagle's wings, bear you on the breath of dawn, make you to shine like the sun, and hold you in the palm of his hand.
Let us pray. Renewed now with heavenly bread, by which faith is nourished, hope increased, and charity strengthened, we pray, O Lord, that we may learn to hunger for Christ, the true and living bread, and strive to live by every word which proceeds from your mouth, through Christ our Lord. Amen. So again, as you heard in the announcements, of course, we've entered into the desert of Lent, and we have all kinds of great traditions of Lent, of course, as Catholics. Of course, fish fries are a tradition, but it's not the ancient tradition, right? So make sure, even if you go to the fish fry on the Fridays, please also try to come to stations. Remember, we have stations at all three churches, so please try to enter that great, of course, you can do it on your own. Like, you can do stations anytime you want in our churches, but it's a beautiful tradition of our church, because we walk the way of Christ, right? And we're all part of that body of Christ, so please do that and follow all the other stuff we do in the bulletin during this time of Lent. Remember, as you also heard, we had the opportunity, I should call it, to do that Disciple Maker Index again. We did it like 3 years ago, and only 200 people did it 3 years ago. We have way more than 200 people in our parish, so please try to do it. And I'm emphasizing, please do it on the internet, because we can make paper copies, but it's more complicated. So I'm sure you're all savvy with technology, but please try to do it on the internet. And if you can't do it, we can give you a paper copy. But again, and that's actually, you know, some good things come from the diocese. So that access, you know, helps us to see in the past 3 years what things we've done well and what things we want to do better. So please, again, take the time during this Lent to do that little survey. You find out how to do it in the bulletin. And then remember, this upcoming week, I have my monthly Holy Hour, which will be on Friday, February 27th, at St. Patrick at 7 p.m. And remember, this is the month of Our Lady of Lourdes, so the month we pray for healing, you know, praying for healing for yourself, and most especially praying for the healing of other people, you know, especially coming to understand, even though God, of course, could remove any kind of suffering from us, but sometimes God doesn't do it, right? You know, God just strengthens us to go through that suffering. So that'll be on Friday. Remember, also after Mass, right now there is coffee and donuts, so make sure they don't end up with all kinds of leftovers. So just go downstairs and share that, again, that little treat of the break from Lent, right? And then some fellowship with our parishioners. And then also remember that our bishop will be coming, Bishop Mark, our new bishop, will be coming. He's coming to every parish, but he's coming to our parish next month on March 25th. And we'd like you to RSVP to do that, because it's not like there's a limit to people who can talk, but we want to know how many people to make like some refreshments for. So please RSVP for when the bishop comes by March 18th. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bow down for the blessing. May bountiful blessing, O Lord, we pray, come down upon your people, that hope may grow in tribulation, virtue be strengthened in temptation, and eternal redemption be assured, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Amen. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go forth in peace. The Mass is ended. Thanks be to God. Let us pray for the help of Saint Michael. Saint Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruination of souls. Amen.
Please join in our closing hymn, number 256, Lord, Who Throughout These 40 Days, number 256.
Lord, who throughout these 40 days for us did fast and pray, teach
us with you to mourn our sins and close by you to stay. As you with Satan did contend and did the victory win, oh, give us strength in you to fight, in you to conquer sin. As you did hunger, bear, and thirst, so teach us, gracious Lord,